White, J.E. White, Emma. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. April 12, 1904. Dear children Edson and Emma, I was very much pleased to receive a letter from Sister Haskell, in which she tells of the progress of their work in Nashville. This letter was read at our dinner table and was listened to with great interest. I believe that the Lord is moving upon hearts in Nashville, and I am so glad. I will answer Sister Haskell's letter as soon as I can get time and strength. This morning, I have been writing for the Australian Mail. I have written to Brother Sharp and Dr. Caro, and to Brother Irwin and Brother Starr. I have just closed up these letters, and in a short time, I must go to the dentist's to have a new upper set of teeth fitted. I am not well. The malaria is upon me, and I cannot eat with any relish. But my head feels clearer, and I can use it more than I could. It is for this that I have been asking the Lord. 2 or 3 days ago, we sent you a draft for $104. I hope that this will reach you in due time. We are in the midst of packing up. We shall leave here Sunday afternoon or Monday morning, and will take the train that leaves San Francisco at 6 o'clock Monday evening. There will be no change after that till we reach Washington. Our plan is to go direct to Washington and stay there for 2 or 3 weeks. Then, if I am able, I shall attend the Lake Union Conference, which is to be held at Berrien Springs, and at the close of this meeting, I shall go to Nashville. We made this arrangement so that I could spend some time at Nashville instead of hurrying through. Be assured of one thing. I will never turn in any other direction means that I can consistently appropriate for the South. I fully understand the needs of this field, and I shall send you all the help I can. Brother Harper told me that he was sending you a check for $125 on the sale of your books. I suppose that you will soon receive this, if you have not already done so. Later, I have just returned from the dentist. I think that the teeth he has made for me fit well. I dare not leave myself with only one set of upper teeth. Should I have just one set, and should anything happen to it, I would be in a bad fix. Not long ago, I sent you a long letter. I felt deeply impressed to write the things contained in this letter. We need now to live in close touch with Christ. We need to draw constantly from the abundant supply of grace provided. Edson, just as surely as you seek the Lord with all your heart, so surely will He give you rest and grace and His salvation. His praise is ever to be on our lips, because His love is in our hearts. Just as long as the enemy lives, he will harass and perplex us in every way possible. But looking to Jesus, trusting in Jesus, we will be more than conquerors. He loves us. His great heart of love is open to all our griefs and sorrows. He knows our every weakness. There is a well-doing that is possible for all of us. We are to live moment by moment in trustful dependence on Christ. The obligation resting on us, as sons of God, to honor His name, should be our great incentive to earnest, sanctified effort. We can glorify God upon this earth. We can walk before Him in all humility of mind. In Christ-like usefulness and holiness, we can be living witnesses for the Master. I greatly desire that all with whom you associate shall see in you the well-doing that is possible for all who love God and keep His commandments. It is not enough for us to have occasional glimpses of Christ. We need an abiding sense of His love, His grace. We should give expression more freely to our gratitude for the blessings that God bestows upon us. How much better it is to speak words of praise than to talk of the discouraging features of our experience. Tell of God's goodness. Speak of His love. Show your sympathy and love for others by kind, unselfish deeds. This will make you a co-laborer with Christ. By seeking to provoke us to wrath, Satan tries persistently to lead us to misrepresent Christ. Let us defeat his plans. Let the impress of Christ on the soul make our well-doing as prominent as Satan's evil-doing is prominent. Be not weary in well-doing. Work as untiringly for the Master as Satan works to multiply wickedness. He hopes to win the world over to disloyalty. He hopes that his pleasing fables will gain the day. He hopes to be indeed monarch of the world, making men like himself. Nothing but watchfulness and prayer can give us power to withstand his devising. Eternal vigilance is the price of safety. Every avenue to the soul must be carefully guarded.
I am charged with a message to you, my son. Do not try to do so much that you are always in a hurry, and weariness leads to impatience and discouragement. Fight, my son. Fight with all the power that God has provided for you against the enemy. Satan's agents are industriously trying to get professing Christians to speak unadvisedly. When they succeed, Satan exults, because God's followers have hurt their influence. But we need not be overcome by the enemy. The Prince of Heaven is on our side. He gives us the assurance, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. These words outline our work. Edson, my son, in the name of the Lord, tell those who seek to hinder you that you have no time to contend or criticize or to make it hard for others. Those who do this are helping Satan. He exults when he can bring the spirit of criticism and fault-finding into the family, the church, or the school. A firm stand against this spirit is to be taken in the home. Those parents who permit themselves to speak words of discouragement and fault-finding are educating their children in the enemy's school. By their careless speech, they are binding up their children with the agencies of Satan. They may profess to be Christians, but they are not. They are working contrary to Christ, on Satan's side of the question. Many professing Christians have placed themselves so entirely under the dictation of Satan that they have become his agencies. He has no more powerful instrumentality than the professing Christian who is disloyal to God. I am bidden to say to our church members, will you now take your stand fully on the Lord's side? Or will you serve the Lord when it is convenient, and bail when it is convenient? Christ says, "No man can serve two masters. He that is not for me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Matthew 6, verse 24, 12-30. To be loyal to God means an entire renunciation of self and all evil working. The ministers of the gospel need the help of those in the church who can discern between Satan's agents and the men who have put on the whole armor and are fighting manfully against the inroads that Satan is striving to make. The enemy uses unconverted Christians as decoys to lead others away from the truth. He fills their hearts with backbiting. He leads them to place obstructions in the way so that advancement cannot be made. He has worked through prominent church members who, under his directions, have kept their foot on the brake. When advancement was necessary in order to gain needed advantages, such ones have seen obstacles in the way and have refused to move forward. This has pleased the enemy, but it has greatly dishonored the Lord. God calls upon believers to cease finding fault, to cease making hasty, unkind speeches. Parents, let the words that you speak to your children be kind and pleasant, that angels may have your help in drawing them to Christ. A thorough reformation is needed in the home church. Let it begin at once. Let all grumbling and fretting and scolding cease. Those who fret and scold shut out the angels of heaven and open the door to evil angels. Let the husband and wife remember that they have burdens enough to carry without making their lives wretched by allowing differences to come in. Those who give place to little differences invite Satan into their home. The children catch the spirit of contention over mere trifles. Evil agencies do their part to make parents and children disloyal to God. My brethren and sisters, will you not be laborers together with God, working for peace and harmony? Pray for the sweet, molding influence of the Holy Spirit. Let your lips be governed by the law of kindness. Refuse to be sour, uncourteous, unkind. Be true to your profession of faith. Then you can sing, "There are angels hovering round." Your mind will become as the mind of Christ. When you agree to wear Christ's yoke, when you heed the invitation, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11, verse 29. You will cease to bind yokes on the necks of others. You will cease to find fault. You will no longer regard it as a virtue to differ from others. You will dwell on those points on which you can agree. We are preparing to meet our Lord when he comes in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In this grand and noble work, we are to help one another. Parents are to bring all the sunshine and pleasantness that they can into their homes. They are to make their homes full of sunshine by kindly words and deeds. Thus they are educating themselves to praise the Lord in the assembly of his people. Do not serve the enemy of God by exhibiting a harsh, unkind spirit. Those only will enter heaven who have overcome the temptation to speak and act unkindly and harshly. Act out the mind of Christ. Speak the words of Christ. And the Lord Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, will be a guest in your home. God calls upon his people in the north and the south and the east and the west to live from henceforth wholly for him. In the past, by their lack of self-control, they have given the enemy the victory and have weakened their power to work successfully for God. Satan rejoices, and the angels of God weep. Christ is dishonored by his professed people. Their unholy words work against the truth and against the souls for whom Christ has died. Unchristlike speech lies at the foundation of 9/10 of all the difficulties that exist in the church. Shall we not resolve to change the order of things? Shall we not determine to resist temptation?